This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. In Forest Park, there's no shortage of things to do. There's the art museum, the zoo, the history museum, and miles of biking and running trails. There's also plenty of nature to take in. But in an urban park, that kind of nature doesn't just happen. It has to be built, restored, and maintained over time. A new study looked at nearly three decades of bird surveys in Forest Park and finds those efforts are paying off. More bird species, especially native ones, are in the park, and that's a sign that things are going well. Joining me now is the first author of this new study, published in the Journal of Ecological Applications. Stella Uterwahl is an ecologist with a PhD in biology who is now at the Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute. She was previously a postdoc with the Living Earth Collaborative at Washington University. The Living Earth Collaborative is a partnership between WashU, the Missouri Botanical Garden, and the St. Louis Zoo. Stella Uterwahl, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So Stella, what first got you interested in the ecological health of Forest Park?
Yeah, that's a great question. So Forest Park Forever and other organizations and people have put a lot of effort into restoring Forest Park's habitat and making it really this haven for wildlife. So we were really interested in seeing what kinds of effects this has had on the bird population and on biodiversity in general.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we talk about any specifics of this study, what does habitat restoration entail at Forest Park?
It entails multiple things. So among their restoration strategies that have been used, removal of invasive plant species is a really big one. So there's a lot of honeysuckle and winter creeper, which are invasive to Missouri and need to be removed in order to make space for native plants. So that's the second piece, is planting native vegetation. And then in addition to that, there are supportive things that can be done, like prescribed burns and mowing, to help keep vegetation under control and help keep those species that we want in the park and the species that we don't want out of the park.
What native plant species are desirable, Stella?
Yeah, so really what you want is a mix of species, and especially plants that provide food and habitat for birds, if birds are what you're interested in. So things like goldenrods and asters can provide food for birds, both by providing seeds and also by supporting pollinators and other insects, which are excellent food sources for birds. And so really what you want is a nice diversity of plant species.
So the restoration itself, you know, are there certain areas of the park where visitors can see that work?
Yeah, there are several areas in the park that are undergoing restoration efforts. So one of those places is in Kennedy Forest, which is in the southwest corner of the park. This is more of a wooded area, so trees, but there's also a bit of a savanna area in that section with more grass and forbs. There's also a lot of restoration work being done along the waterways of Forest Park. So this includes the ponds and the rivers and the lakes, and especially along the edges of those waterways, you can see restoration happening. And that includes, for example, Deer Lake Savanna, but also if anyone has been in Forest Park lately, you probably know that there's been a lot of restoration and other construction efforts that are going on around Jefferson Lake near the hospital area. Those are all great places to see Forest Park Forever's restoration in action.
Mm-hmm. Why is water such a thing of interest here? What is the role of access to water? What is that? What does it mean?
Yeah, so one of the things we found in our study was that the amount of water that's available in an area is directly correlated with the biodiversity of birds in that area. And although we weren't able to explicitly test why that is, we think it's for two reasons. First of all, birds, like any other animal, they need water. And so having a space for animals to drink, to bathe, to have access to that water is really important. And then secondly, water itself is a habitat. So when you have water available in an area, you're opening up new opportunities for birds. So this means you can have things like waterfowl and shorebirds who just otherwise wouldn't be able to use that area at all. Mm-hmm. So those two ways together are working to increase biodiversity.
So this kind of restoration work, I imagine, you know, it varies as far as how long it does take. But what is the range of time from the point of beginning restoration to actually seeing some results?
Yeah, so we found that even in the very early stages of restoration, you're already seeing an improvement or an increase in the biodiversity of birds. So really that effect is almost immediate. We know that in Forest Park, restoration has been happening in one form or another for decades at this point. And we're really starting to see that the areas that have been receiving restoration for the longest amount of time are also the places that have the most biodiversity. So it's this immediate jump in biodiversity, but that also is continuing over time as management and restoration efforts are continuing.
Mm-hmm. Now, the study that was just published, for which you're the first author, it focuses on birds. Why birds, Stella?
Yeah, that's a really good question. There are three reasons for that. First, we know that birds are in danger. Many groups of animals, many groups of organisms in general are declining, but birds especially. So they really need our help, and they're a good group of animals to focus on if we're interested in conservation. We also know that birds get people excited about conservation. So birds are easy to see, they're easy to hear, they're colorful, they're bright, they sing. And so it's easy to get people excited about doing things like restoration and conservation when you have birds to use as the face of that effort. And then lastly, we know that birds are really important in ecosystems. So they have important roles like dispersing seeds to help plants continue to grow. They eat insects and small mammals, so they're important components of the food web. They also have these long distance movements such as migrations, which really connect them to ecosystems around the world. And so birds are really important, not just for us to get people excited about conservation, but also because birds are important ecologically and they need our help.
Mm-hmm. And earlier, Stella, you had said that there has been a decline in bird species or the number of birds. What accounts for that?
Yeah, there are many different things that are contributing to that simultaneously. So we know that things like climate change are increasing the intensity and the severity of severe events, including things like tornadoes, also droughts. All of this can impact birds. In addition, habitat loss is a huge one. So as we know, we're losing land, natural land, to things like urbanization and agriculture. And so we need to think about how we can make those areas more useful for birds and be able to use them both for human purposes, but also for biodiversity purposes.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of tornado and weather events, the study that you did, it was conducted before last year's May 16th tornado, and parts of Forest Park were damaged by that severe weather event. The results that you have seen, this improvement in avian biodiversity because of restoration efforts, I mean, would you expect to see the same results had that tornado damage not happened?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And I personally haven't done any bird surveys in Forest Park since the tornado, so I can't say for certain, but we do know that natural systems tend to be pretty resilient. And many natural systems need some level of disturbance, like a tornado or like a wildfire, in order to promote biodiversity. But we also know that if there's too much of that, it can be detrimental. However, more biodiverse systems are much more resilient to those kinds of changes. So I have no doubt that the Forest Park community has been able to bounce back.
Mm-hmm. We're talking today with Stella Uderwall. She's an ecologist at the Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute, and she's the first author of a new study about the success of bird habitat restoration in Forest Park. This is a study that has just been published in the journal Ecological Applications. Stella, this study, what would you say about the top line results of it?
Yeah, so the biggest result of this paper is that restoration work that's happening in Forest Park is correlated with an improvement in the diversity of birds in the park. And specifically, we were interested in determining whether any changes that we saw in biodiversity would be coming from native birds or non-native birds. So we were really excited to see that those increases in biodiversity are primarily coming from native species.
Mm-hmm. Why is that such a big deal?
Yeah, so biodiversity can come from any kind of species. And so when we just think about biodiversity in general, it can be native species, non-native species. And in urban settings, we have a lot of these non-native species that are coming from elsewhere in the world. And so when we see high biodiversity in urban areas, it might not necessarily be the biodiversity of species that we're interested in protecting or conserving in that area. So we're very happy to see that the increases in biodiversity are coming from increases in species that are originally naturally in the St. Louis area.
Mm-hmm. Is there an example you can provide maybe of one particular bird species that you were excited to see doing well?
Yeah, one of the species that I personally was very excited to see was a merlin in Forest Park. So this is a raptor. It's a type of falcon and one that I had personally never seen in St. Louis before. So this was very exciting for me to see this bird in Forest Park in an area that had received restoration effort.
Mm-hmm. What does a merlin look like?
Yeah, so a merlin is, it's not a small falcon, but it's not a big falcon either. They have big eyes and big dark eyes and sort of brown, almost I guess camouflage color to blend in with the natural environment. And this one that we saw was sitting in a tree, so it was just hanging out waiting for us to spot it, which was very cool.
Okay. And this spotting, tell us about the surveys that you undertook in order to put this paper together.
So we conducted surveys at 22 different sites in Forest Park, and those were a mix of locations that had been previously surveyed in the 90s, as well as some new locations that we decided to include to get a broader diversity of locations in the park. So what we did is on any given day, we would go to 11 of these survey sites, and then another day that week, we would visit the other 11. When we get to our survey, usually about a half hour after sunrise, what we do is we first collect some data on the temperature, the wind speed, what time we started the survey, as well as information like how many people are with me doing that survey. And then we start a timer for 5 minutes and for 10 minutes. And during those 10 minutes, we record all of the birds that we see or hear, and then whether we saw it in the first 5 minutes or the second 5 minutes. And then what we're doing is essentially trying to identify everything by sight or sound. And then we're also importantly trying to count the number of individuals of each species, because this is really important biodiversity data. And then at the end of the 10 minutes, we pack up our stuff and we go along to the next site. Mm-hmm. So usually we would wrap up our 11 survey sites for a given day by mid-morning.
That sounds like a lot of very attention detail sort of work. Would you describe yourself as a birder, or did you become one through this process?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I became interested in birds in grad school, but throughout that process, it's really opened my eyes to the uniqueness and the diversity of birds that occur in the St. Louis area. So in grad school, I just became more aware of all the different species of birds that exist in the Midwest and all the important roles that those birds play for us. And so this was really an opportunity to look into that a little bit more deeply and get interested in how, get some data to inform this interest in how restoration and habitat management can help those bird species.
Mm-hmm. Last year, I actually had the opportunity to talk with a pair of brothers from Collinsville, and they'd made a documentary about a year-long bird-finding quest called Listers. I believe that you've seen that.
Yes, that's a very, very funny show, movie.
Do you think that work like that also goes a certain way to make people a little more aware of what is flying around about them or up in the trees, out on the water?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think all of us are familiar with robins and starlings and these birds that are a little bit bolder and just around us every day. But movies like Listers are definitely good for getting the public attention towards these birds that you have to look a little bit more closely to see. So the things that might be flitting around in the tops of trees or flying really high overhead or scurrying around in between leaves, these things takes a little bit more attention and patience to see. And so having a funny movie like Listers can really help get people excited about looking for those kinds of tiny details.
Estella, your study found that there was an uptick in native bird species, which you've mentioned before, and then you've talked about non-native birds contributing to biodiversity. But is there something to be mindful of when it comes to non-native birds and their numbers in Forest Park?
Yeah, so a lot of the non-native birds that we saw were things like European starlings, pigeons. There's also some domesticated waterfowl in the park. So the reason those birds are here is because they live well with humans, and in some cases humans have actually brought those species along with us on purpose for other species. They've come here sort of incidentally on accident. But it's good for us to keep in mind that these species are also contributing to the ecosystem in some way. But that way might just be different than what our native birds are doing.
So with Forest Park itself, humans are also there, along with the animals and the flora. How do you think about the balance of Forest Parks being a place where nature should thrive, but also as an urban park for people to enjoy?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So Forest Park has to strike this balance between promoting wildlife, promoting natural systems, but also being a place where humans can go and enjoy being out in the natural world. And so I do think that by promoting restoration and managing habitats for things like biodiversity, we can get at both of those goals. So we know that being out in nature is really good for you. It's good for your mental health. It's good for your physical health. And it also helps give you this appreciation of nature, which in turn is then better for the nature because we see people getting interested in conservation and interested in ecology and those kinds of things that we can apply to help native species.
Mm-hmm. Now, our executive producer, Alex Hoyer, he spends a lot of time running in Forest Park, and he recalls a sign that he sees near the Pagoda Circle, and it is a reminder for animals, four and two-legged, to stay on the path. And it says, "Plants grow by the inch and die by the foot." So is this a simple lesson that people can take away from your research? Is that what people can do to aid habitat restoration?
Yeah, definitely. So it's very easy to trample things underfoot, and you might not even notice what you're trampling. And this restoration work that has been happening has been a lot of effort, a lot of time, and a lot of money has gone into this. And so we want to keep that habitat as protected as we can. So also following rules like keeping your dog on a leash can be very helpful, and just being mindful of the fact that when you're doing something like running or walking in a restored area in Forest Park, you're in the space that is the home of the wildlife species that you're living in St. Louis with.
Mm-hmm. Is there something that you wish people better understood about the wild areas within our urban ecosystems?
Yeah, I guess I just want to reiterate that having nature blended together within human areas is really good for wildlife, but also really good for humans. So by supporting these kind of blended areas, it really helps make our cities better, and it also helps the conservation efforts that are happening. Mm-hmm.
We are right now in the midst of migration season for many species of birds, and you know, St. Louis is sort of this flyway. What would you suggest that visitors to Forest Park, you know, keep an eye out for, particularly in the weeks to come?
Yeah, that's a great question. So lots of birds are going to be flying through the St. Louis area. Of course, the brightest and most colorful of those birds are the warblers, so you should be able to see plenty of warblers in Forest Park, and those are usually very bright yellow birds, sometimes with other colors like black or blue. Those you can definitely see those in the trees in Kennedy Forest or near Deer Lake Savannah. You should also be able to see some raptors in Forest Park, as well as lots of waterfowl, especially around the fish hatchery.
Stella Uderwall is an ecologist at the Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute and the first author of a new study about the success of bird habitat restoration in Forest Park. Stella, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Today's episode was produced by our executive producer, Alex Hoyer.
Audio engineering and podcast design by Aaron Dorr.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.